Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
I'm Victor Arvidsson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Matt Duchene of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predator.
Welcome to Smashville.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios and against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves their soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate throughout the NHL with all the scores, highlights, news, and more.
But you need to dig in right now, every guy.
I want to see people rip their heart out of their f***ing chest this period. Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
Now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier.
It's time for another episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right, it's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. The Renegades of Puck are all in the trench this morning. Mastrodamus in the second period and the return of the OG, Brandon Felder, coming up in the third period. Me, I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. I'm also the canary in the hockey coal mine, and I am here to bring you 60 minutes going to all the hard areas of Nashville Predators coverage. Your Nashville Predators currently sit in second place in the Central Division after six games played. They are 4-2 on the season. They have 8 points, and they are 3 points behind the Colorado Avalanche. On the road, the Nashville Predators are 1-1, and tonight they will close out their first road trip of the year. It is a three-game road trip, and it ends in Arizona. The Coyotes have played 5 games so far this season. They are 2-2-1. On home ice, they are 1-1. They have only scored 11 goals on the season versus the Nashville Predators, 28 goals, and they have only given up 9 goals on the season. So far, the Arizona Coyotes are playing intensely low-scoring hockey. As a matter of fact, in their 5 games, it was a 2-1 loss to open the season at Anaheim. It was a 1-0 loss versus Boston at their home opener. Then it was a 4-1 win versus Vegas, a 3-2 overtime loss at Colorado. And most recently, it was a 4-2 win at Winnipeg. They'll play again Saturday versus the Ottawa Senators. This Coyotes team, the first time the Nashville Predators will see them this season. On 12/23, we'll see them here at Bridgestone Arena. And all the way down the road on March the 28th, you will see the Preds head out to Arizona for the third and final regular season meeting between these two teams. Usually a difficult building for the Nashville Predators to go into and play. So, what are they up against tonight? Well, the ranks in the NHL for this Coyotes team on the power play, 2 of 11 on the season, only 18.2%. Their penalty kill is 14 out of 17. That's 82.4%. Goals for only 2.2 per game. Goals against 1.8. They are generating 33.6 shots on net. That is dramatically different than the numbers you will see with this Nashville Predators team. The power play for the Preds, 5 goals on the season already out of 22 opportunities. That's 22.7%. The penalty kills 13 out of 18 at 72.2. Goals for 4.67. That is a highly impressive number at this point, ranking first in the NHL. Goals against 3.83. Shots for, Preds are generating 34.7 per game and giving up 31 per game. Now for the Nashville Predators, we've seen our first roster move. Carr was placed on waivers and now has cleared waivers. He will be headed back to Milwaukee. Really not enough of a sample size to determine if he has a future in the NHL. He didn't get an opportunity to do very much while he was here, getting just a couple of starts on the fourth line. So hopefully he will get a chance to go down to Milwaukee and continue his growth. He has been a very successful player in the past, just didn't see enough out of him at this NHL level. You've got to wonder if that opens up a spot for the Nashville Predators to go ahead and make a move, either bringing someone else up from Milwaukee or going out and finding someone who still might be on the free agent list out there for the NHL. So for this Nashville Predators team, also dealing with a sudden injury to Philip Forsberg. He is listed as day-to-day. He did finish the game against Las Vegas the other night, but a vicious hit to the head by Mark Stone has a lot of people wondering, first of all, why in the hell Mark Stone wasn't suspended, but secondly, how this was completely missed during the game. And now we all know why Philip Forsberg reacted in-game the way he did. For this Nashville Predators team, they wrap up this three-game road trip tonight. So far, they've gotten 2 out of 4 points. A win tonight would give them 4 out of 6, and I would consider that to be a successful road trip, even though the first 2 periods of this road trip were absolutely abysmal in Los Angeles. The Nashville Predators will come on home Saturday and take on the Florida Panthers Tuesday. We'll welcome in the Anaheim Ducks, and then the Minnesota Wild come in to close out that three-game homestand on the 24th. The 26th, the Preds head out for their first trip of the year in Tampa Bay, and then come back home and first meeting of the season between the Preds and the Blackhawks. In the Central Division, overall, a light night on the schedule. Vancouver is in St. Louis, and the New York Islanders, they are at Winnipeg. So there's your scores to keep an eye on tonight. When you talk about the Arizona Coyotes, we mentioned that there's not a whole lot of stats for this team, but you've got to give recognition to these numbers by Darcy Kuemper. And I'll start with the goaltender. After 4 games played, he's 2-2, got a 1.52 goals against average, a 9.55 save percentage. And if Arizona has 2 wins and only 11 goals scored, you know that the goaltending has to be what is making the difference. Nick Schmaltz is currently leading the team after 5 games. He's got 3 goals and 2 assists. That is good for 5 points, only averaging 13.43 in time on ice per night. You've got Dvorak. He is also early in the season, 2 goals and 3 points overall. Oliver Ekman-Larsson is a player that usually gives the Predators fits. He's got 3 assists on the season. Your Nashville Predators, statistically, of course, still led by Matt Duchene in scoring after 6 games played, 2 goals and 7 assists. His scoring streak was broken in this previous game against the Las Vegas Golden Knights. He has 9 points on the season, 1 power play goal, 1 power play assist, 18 shots on net through 6 games. Forsberg, 5 goals now on the season. You remember the last couple of seasons, it's taken him till after 30 games played to get past the 3-goal mark. Now sitting on 5, 3 assists, 8 points. Hopefully this day-to-day status is not going to derail the early season success, because health and consistency is all I have asked for of the hockey gods for Philip Forsberg, because he potentially is a 40-goal scorer, and there's no doubt in my mind that he could one day break the franchise single-season point scoring record at 85 total points. Ryan Ellis, resurgent, healthy, looking good on the ice. 1 goal, 6 assists, 7 points. Johansson also at 7 points. And then Josi is at 6 and Arvidsson is at 6. In net, Pekka Rinne, impressive start to this season. He has played in 4 games. He is 4-0, a 2.76 goals against average, a 9.08 save percentage, and the saves he is coming up with, they are important and they are timely. So Pekka Rinne is getting it done back there between the pipes for the Nashville Predators. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for Juuse Saros' 2 awful games so far this early season, the Nashville Predators, well, I mean, they could be undefeated right now and ranking number 1 in goals scored in the NHL, and the power play clicking and Matt Duchene being successful. But Juuse Saros, his 2 starts were a real bummer in the first 6 games of the year, and the Preds dropped both of those. Second of a 3-game road trip for the Nashville Predators, their one and only visit out to Las Vegas this year, and we all got to see the show as they lined up and got ready, and this is the way the lines shaped up. Yarncroke getting another opportunity on the first line as the experiment continues, and we try to find a permanent fill-in there with Johansson and Arvidsson. Forsberg, Duchene, and Granlund are going to skate together probably all season long, because just natural chemistry, and just wait till they get 15, 20 games down the line and start to really get to know each other better. Sissons, Bonino, and Smith, this line has found success in the past and is now finding more success in the present. Grimaldi, Turris, Watson, that rounds out your fourth line. Josi and Ellis, Ekholm and Fabro, Ham, Houston, Weber, Pekka Rinne, of course, gets the start in Vegas. We're just 2:14 into the first period, and Kyle Turris, yes, that Kyle Turris, has his 2nd goal of the season. Ellis lets a shot go from out high. It is tipped by Turris in the high slot on the way to the net. Grimaldi got this play started, and this line looking really good in its first rotation out there in a road game. The Nashville Predators have a 1-0 lead over Vegas on Kyle Turris' 2nd goal of the season. At 3:34 in the first, McNabb's going to the box. 2 minutes for tripping. 1 good shot on goal. Second unit had better possession for the Nashville Predators. prayers, but they were unable to get things done. Now, going into this game, special teams-wise, the Las Vegas Golden Knights had one of the best power plays and best penalty kills in the entire league, so not much of a surprise that the Preds were frustrated early on this power play. 6:09, Grimaldi gets a scoring chance, and easily his first two shifts of the game are his two best shifts of the season to this point. As a matter of fact, I had been kind of disappointed in Rocco to this point in the season, but he is picking it up here in the first period and a good scoring chance right here using that hustle, using that jam. 7:09, Pekka has got a save on Nosek off of the rush. 8:07, Forsberg gets a shot off of the rush. It is stopped by Fleury. 8:37, Pekka has to make two saves off the rush. Backhand rebound, not an easy save right here for Pekka. At 9:01, Matthias Ekholm is going to the box. 2 minutes for cross-checking, and then Stone, the big-time trade acquisition last year by Las Vegas, converting for his fifth goal on the season. Half wall to the goal line, to the slot, to the back of the net. That is how you move the puck quickly and you take care of scoring on a power play. As a matter of fact, that looked very similar to what the Predators have done to teams this year on the power play. The game is tied up at one apiece and we are skating back and forth throughout the first period. A lot of transition hockey, a lot of skating in this first period. 17:23, right Riley Smith off of the rush. The puck hits Ham Hughes' skate. A bad bounce right to Riley Smith in the slot, and he puts the puck into the net and giving Vegas a 2-1 lead at 17:23. At 18:13, Roman Josi and Stone have a go in front of the Las Vegas net. 5 minutes each for these two, and the fight you would probably have least predicted, Roman Josi against Mark Stone in Las Vegas. Roman Josi's second career fight, and why did he drop the gloves? Well, because he got high-sticked by Stone. He felt it was dirty. He looked for the proper call from the referee, and when he didn't get it, decided to dish out hockey justice on his own. Now listen, Roman Josi's way too damn handsome to be out there throwing fisticuffs, but you're the captain of an NHL hockey team, and when you feel you've been wronged, sometimes you gotta handle your business. I like to see the captain sticking up for himself out there and not waiting for somebody else to come in there and do it for him. It wasn't a good fight, but it was a scrap, and Roman Josi, the captain of the Nashville Predators, good job sticking up for himself. We go to the end of the first period. Vegas has that 2-1 lead, and they're also out shooting the Preds 18-10. And Pekka Rinne is keeping the Nashville Predators in this one. 44 seconds into the second period, Preds renewed life. Colton Sissons' second goal of the season ties this game up at 2 apiece. I like that. Nice symmetry there. Second goal ties it up at 2. Bonino, backhand pass through the legs from behind the net to Sissons in the low slot. That is jam by Colton Sissons right there. You want the definition of jam? Take a look at that goal right there. Colton Sissons brings the jam hard. Nick Bonino with some skill on that pass right there. Love seeing it. Game tied 2 apiece. 1:28 into the second period. Pacioretty's going to the box. 2 minutes for interference. Fleury comes up with a huge save as the power play expires on Ryan Johansson. 5:08. Kelly Arncroak's got his first goal of the season. Victor Arvidsson chases down a loose puck, goes behind the net, makes the pass to Yarncroak in the slot for the conversion, and the Nashville Predators just seeming to know where they are going to be. Going behind the net with the puck, passing it right to the slot and converting. This is something we've seen on a regular basis, and Kelly Yarncroak, part of that first line, picking up his first goal of the season and giving the Nashville Predators a 3-2 lead. Very shortly after, at 7:53, Philip Forsberg's bringing the jam as he's hard on the forecheck, pinning Marc-Andre Fleury along the back wall, giving him no outlet, and Fleury turns the puck over. Forsberg takes it, banks it in off of Fleury as he's trying to scramble and get back to the net, and it's an easy finish for a goal scorer of that caliber. 5 goals now on the season for Philip Forsberg, and the Nashville Predators have a 4-2 lead in Vegas. At 11 minutes, Nosek gets a good chance, but he shoots it right over the top. He had a really good look at that one. Pekka Rinne would have been beaten if it was a good shot. 12:57, Forsberg's going to the box. 2 minutes for interference. Now, this is a situation we need to get into and discuss, and there will be a lot more talk about it throughout the show. This penalty should have been on Mark Stone. First of all, it was a headshot. Second of all, he left his feet. And third of all, it was most definitely interference. He should have been called for this, not Philip Forsberg. Forsberg would come back and finish the game, but we all know now he is listed as day-to-day. There was good pressure by Vegas. Not much gets through onto the Nashville Predators net. The Preds are able to survive drive this one as Pekarinen comes up with a huge save just after the power play, and then Stone has a rebound opportunity off of that shot, and Pekarinen is able to keep the puck out of the net. Preds playing with fire, though, at 17:28. Fabro's going to the box. 2 minutes for holding. This is a bend but not break penalty kill. Plenty of zone time for the Las Vegas Golden Knights, but the Nashville Predators are able to keep the puck out of the net. At 19:43, the Preds do catch a break, and Vegas's momentum is slowed as they pick up a bench minor for too many men on the ice. That takes us to the intermission. Now with the Nashville Predators leading 4-2, Vegas out shooting the Preds 27-22. On the carryover into the third period of 1:43 on that bench minor, Johansson, Duchesne, Forsberg just out there doing work. A couple of opportunities to really blow this game open, but they were unable to get it by Fleury. 3:49, McNabb is going to the box. 2 minutes for holding on Duchesne. Matt Duchesne skating hard and keeping those feet moving. He earns that power play for the Nashville Predators on the delay. Incredible pressure for the Nashville Predators as they just had Vegas pinned in their zone. Once the power play does get started, there's Nick Bonino with his second of the season. Ellis to Turris, the shot deflected in front by Bonino to the back of the net, and the Nashville Predators have a power play goal against a very strong penalty kill unit, and they also have a 5-2 lead, and by my calculations, they now have goals from all four lines in this game. Impressive effort by the Nashville Predators right here. 5-2 in the third period. 4:35, Pekarinen has to make a save on glass in close. At 5:33, Vegas has a 2-on-1 but cannot get the shot on net. 6:31, Ryan Ellis has a chance to add to the Preds lead, but he hits the post. Finally got a chance to unload that shot that we know, pound for pound, one of the hardest shots in the NHL when he gets the space. 12:24, Zykov's going to the box. 2 minutes for cross-checking. Fleury keeping Vegas at least reasonably in this game. A huge save on Nick Bonino with the toe along the goal line. Then another one with the arm on the goal line, diving back the other way on Matt Duchesne as he attempted to come from behind the net and put this one in. At 15:12, your last big event of the game, Ham Houston, Pat Chiaretti, 5 minutes each. Pat Chiaretti went in on Ham Hughes hard, and I don't think he was expecting to get those two rights, because by the reaction of just the linesman, you could tell that this fight was very one-sided and over very quickly. They go to the box, 5 minutes each. Second fight of this game. Nick Bonino picks up a penalty for holding at 19:23, but it is insignificant and inconsequential as the Nashville Predators close out on Vegas's home ice, winning 5-2 and outshooting Vegas 39-35. In the third period, the Nashville Predators put a stranglehold on the Vegas Golden Knights. When you were expecting that big push to come by Vegas, it never did. As a matter of fact, Vegas spent probably the last 10 minutes of this game running around the ice, just trying to engage physically and trying to cheap shot some of the Nashville Predators players. It was an excellent win for the Nashville Predators. Now, coming off that terrible game in Los Angeles that they should have gotten at least a point in, they take 2 points from Vegas in their only trip out to Las Vegas this regular season. So for the Nashville Predators, a good win right there. An opportunity now to close out the road trip tonight in Arizona. Winning this game would mean taking 4 out of 6 points on the initial road trip of the season. I would be satisfied. Now, knowing the Nashville Predators gave up at least a point, if not two, in LA, it does bug me, but picking up 4 out of 6 on this road trip would be impressive. Tonight is not going to be easy. Arizona, not impressive when you look at the standings or the numbers, but their goaltender has been absolutely outstanding the first part of the season. His numbers are incredible. Mastrodamus will be here to preview the goaltending matchup for tonight, and we'll also talk quite a bit about the dirty hit on Forsberg and the NHL's lack of discipline yet again on a Las Vegas Golden Knights player. Mastrodamus in the second period, Felder in the third period. The Renegades of Puck are in full effect this morning. It's hockey trench warfare at its finest. I'm your host and your captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. Remember, you can always check us out by going to WNSR.com. There you can stream the show for free. You can get all the information you need about this radio show. You can also download the WNSR app, 100% free to you, and you can listen to this radio show or all WNSR programming anywhere. SoundCloud, iTunes, that's how you catch us in an on-demand world. Sometimes you can't get up for the live game day presentation at 5 a.m. and you can't catch the encore presentations at 6 p.m. during the Johnny Ballpark Frank show. So, on demand. SoundCloud, iTunes. Just search Predneck Nation or Nashville Sports Radio, and you will find each and every episode. Remember, live at 5 on game days, and we are always here talking Nashville Predators hockey. If you'd like to join us, you can at Predneck Nation on Twitter, Predneck Nation Facebook, and also PredneckNation.com. We'll be back in just a minute from the Gog and Cold Hall Studios. I am your host, your captain, and the canary in the hockey coal mine. Mostradamus is up next. I'm Crazy Charlie Sonia right here, Predneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio.
I'm Beckerin of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
You know that's what you're listening to, the Renegades of Puck Hockey Trench Warfare at its finest. Easily one of the longest running shows covering the topic and doing it better than everyone else. Look, we all watch the same games. We've all got access to the same numbers and information, but it's about the presentation. It's about the delivery. It's about the Renegades of Puck. It's about being able to tell you the truth. That's why I call myself the canary in the hockey coal mine. Crazy Charlie Sonia right here, Predneck Nation Radio. Welcome back in. Appreciate each and every one of you. And remember, it's easy to become a Renegade of Puck. You got the fire, you got the fury, you got the passion. Well, I certify you a Renegade of Puck right now. All you have to do is listen to this fantastic radio show. Speak the truth about what you see and never be afraid to give a hard opinion when it comes to all things Nashville Predators and the National Hockey League. Here to talk to me about all of those things in that specific manner, he is, of course, the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation. On Twitter, you can find him at GreekGoalie35, and he is a man so far ahead in the future, he's going to tell you everything that's going to happen tonight between the Nashville Predators and the Arizona Coyotes. He is, of course, Mostradamus. How are you doing today, my friend?
Charlie, I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing outstanding, Mostradamus. Now, we've got some intense topics to get into, but before we get all riled up, let's get into some of the particulars and the numbers from this most recent game for the Nashville Predators. I think it's a very good road win going into Las Vegas. Not an easy rink, not an easy team to play against. And in the early years of the franchise of the Vegas Golden Knights, the Preds have certainly had some issues. So, Nashville Predators get Pekka-Rinne back in net, 33 out of 35. He looked outstanding, timely and important saves, as you would expect, and he kept the Preds in this game, and then they got their skates under him and got that offense rolling, as they've done in almost every game this season. It was win number 345 on the career for Pekka-Rinne. Mostradamus, talk to me about that performance.
Great performance for Rinne, and a calming performance, too, because the Preds have given up at least three goals in every game this season until that. So we talked about it before, the timeliness of these saves, because late in the game when the decision was basically done and over with, he wasn't really tested hardly at all, as the Vegas kind of did their own thing and kind of just try to be physical with the Preds and try to frustrate him and get a little piece of meat on their way out with an L. But Pekka-Rinne, early on in that game, when this game was in doubt, you see their two goals in the first period. Vegas tends to score goals in bunches. They get the crowd riled up. They get a goal or two, and all of a sudden it starts snowballing on you. But the Preds kept their composure with the help of Pekka-Rinne and his timely saves. A couple saves on Stone just as the power play had expired. That's a huge point in the game right there, because the Preds were coming back and trying to take that lead. Then they don't win this game without Rinne. So probably the best 60 minutes overall of play from the Nashville Predators all season long. You take that every single time. And you go into Vegas and you get a W. A lot of teams haven't been able to do that.
Mostradamus, we saw all four lines contributing to the goal scoring. And, of course, when you are putting up numbers like the Nashville Predators are at 4.67 goals per game, of course, you can expect production coming throughout the lineup. But a stat that you put out the other night right after the game, and it is impressive to look at, the game-winning goals by the Nashville Predators this year have been scored by Austin Watson, Kyle Turris, Matthias Ekholm, and Kelly Yarncroak. Greg, this is a team where we wondered where the scoring depth was going to come from. Well, I'd say three out of those four guys, you wouldn't expect to be getting a whole lot of game-winning goals. So impressive early season depth scoring.
You don't expect those type of guys. So you have Duchesne out there, Forsberg, Arvidsson, Johansson, all the usual suspects out there. Yes, they've contributed scoring-wise, but, you know, take it for what it's worth. The game-winning goals are coming from your depth players. And if this team is going to survive this season and be successful in the playoffs, you're going to need that depth scoring. As we saw last season, you had just one line, maybe, and a second line that kind of sort of contributes. You're going to get shut down pretty easily come playoff time. So I love what I've seen out of Kyle Turris so far this season, much better than what we saw probably since his acquisition. Maybe his acquisition, he had a great first month or two with Biala and Smith on his flanks. But aside from that, not that great. So I like what I've seen out of Turris. Bonino, after an abysmal first few games of the season, he seemed to have stepped up his game as well, showing some jam. Colton Sissons has a couple goals now, so depth scoring, crucial if you're going to be successful.
And when you look at the goal scorers from this game against Vegas, it was Bonino, Forsberg, Yarncroak, Sissons, and Turris. But a couple of other numbers, you also saw Rocco Grimaldi getting on the score sheet. Felt that this was his best game of the year. His first couple of shifts in the first period really set a tone to remind us why we liked Rocco Grimaldi last season. And a lot of shots on net for this Nashville Predators team. Bonino, Duchesne, Forsberg, and Smith all with four from the forward position. And then you had Ryan Johansson getting three shots on net. And we know Johansson doesn't shoot the puck nearly enough. Ekholm had six block shots in this game, but one stat category I really want to highlight with you this morning, Mastrodamus, and we'll separate out the one incident for a separate conversation afterwards, but you had mentioned in the preview of Las Vegas that they are an old school, very physical team that looks to intimidate and then take over and then let that offense do its thing. When you look at this Nashville Predators defense corps and go down the list of hits, first of all, there were 18 total, two by Ekholm, two by Ellis, three by Favreau, six by Dan Hamhuis in just 12-14 of time on ice. Roman Josi gets two hits. Yannick Weber gets three hits. Oh, and also two of those defensemen end up getting in scraps, Josi and Hamhuis sticking up for themselves. So Mastrodamus, it was the Nashville Predators that took the Vegas playbook and turned it around on them in this 5-2 win.
Loved what I saw. The Preds weren't going to sit back and just continue to get hit and get pounded like Vegas tends to do, particularly on home ice. They love using that fourth line, as we saw the Ryan Reeves, Nosek, and Carrier, to go out there forecheck and just pound your defenseman into oblivion. Preds turned it around and flipped, like you said, flipped the script on them. Were physical with them, weren't backing down. And we saw that with Roman Josi, of course, against Mark Stone. He wasn't going to be intimidated. He got the high stick, didn't get the call. A little cross-check to Stone. They had a little chat, and of course, the gloves went off. Not a long fight, but it sent a message that the Preds were not going to sit around and get beaten down by this Vegas team.
That's exactly it. You're not going to take it from Vegas. They've been able to take their liberties across the Western Conference and across the league since they've come in. And that's why I want to talk about this particular incident and single it out. We saw Philip Forsberg take a penalty for interference, and that penalty was a reactionary penalty to getting absolutely dirty hit by Mark Stone. Now, Mastrodamus, we all know in the last decade, this league has worked tirelessly to try to remove headshots. They have called these penalties in-game. They have gone back and suspended players. Philip Forsberg himself has been suspended for a high hit on Jimmy Vesey. So when I see this play happen, it looks oddly familiar to what Forsberg did to Jimmy Vesey, except Mark Stone comes in, clearly leaves his feet and launches upward with the arm and elbow to the head of Philip Forsberg. Now, Philip Forsberg did finish the game, but he's listed as day-to-day. So Mastrodamus, I ask you, as of when we went on the air this morning, there was no supplementary discipline, there was no in-game call, and it seems like they're completely ignoring Mark Stone hitting one of the premier power forwards in the NHL in the head.
Crickets from the Department of Player Safety, and honestly, I'd love to say I'm surprised by it, but I'm not, because we've seen it time and time again, the inconsistency of the Department of Player Safety and George Parros, who lead that venture at the NHL level. You can't have a guy, and I've watched the replay a million times. He goes in. The puck is squirting out into the crease area of his own net. Mark Stone does not take one look at that puck. Forsberg does not have the puck anymore. He goes in, and if you look at it again, it looks like they're going to go shoulder to shoulder, which is perfectly fine. Does Forsberg drop his head? Yes, it's going to happen. He's looking for the puck. But it's a player in a vulnerable position. He clearly could have gone just shoulder to shoulder and decided to, I'm going to take some liberties out on him and literally go upwards with his shoulder and his arm and his elbow up towards the head area. The first contact he makes is with Philip Forsberg's head. It's as simple as that. We've seen those ridiculous videos all the time where they explain the suspensions. Oh, it could have been this, but the player decided to do X. Well, that's exactly what Mark Stone did. It could have been just a shoulder-to-shoulder check, but he decided to make it a little bit more, didn't worry about the puck. It's clear interference. It's clearly head contact. I mean, they didn't call anything. That's the thing also. Typically, when they go back and look at these possible suspension-worthy plays, if the guy's been called for it and has a game misconduct, they're a little bit more lenient about the suspension. There was nothing called on this play. Remember 2 years ago, William Carrier, same thing. Ryan Johansson, doesn't have the puck. He just finishing a check on one of the Vegas players. Carrier makes a beeline for him, raises his elbow, gets him in the head, knocks out Johansson for the rest of the game. No call, no suspension. I don't know what it is. I don't know if Vegas is the NHL's new darling for the last couple of seasons because of how easy they allowed them to get this team at a competitive level in the first couple of seasons. You've got to take a stand. You can't sit there and preach about we're doing something about head contact. It's not the same NHL. Granted, Scott Stevens from the Devils would not be able to play in this type of game. He'd have to change this type of style. But you can't preach about that and then have a play like that, which clearly violates every check mark that you look for head contact and suspension-worthy play, and look the other way.
I'll just say that same exact play on perhaps some Northeastern team would probably have drawn a 2-3 game suspension almost immediately. No, but there's no Eastern Conference bias. There's no Las Vegas bias when it comes to the Department of Player Safety. So moving on from that, he should have been suspended. He wasn't, and Vegas is going to get a break. If Philip Forsberg misses any time, it is absolutely a travesty by the NHL to not make that call. Mastrodamus, the Arizona Coyotes are the third opponent for the Nashville Predators on this three-game road trip early in the season. They've only played five games. They are 2-2-1. They are 1-1 on home ice. Now, the goals for, goals against, that's where it's kind of crazy. Early in the season, I know, but only 11 goals for, 9 goals against. You talk about the opposite of what kind of hockey the Predators have been playing. 2.2 goals per game, 1.8 goals against. And a lot of reason that they do have the two victories is because of Darcy Kuemper. 2 wins on the season, 1.52 goals against, and a .955 save percentage. Mastrodamus, talk to me about the Arizona Coyotes, and talk to me especially about how the Nashville Predators are going to beat Darcy Kuemper, who has been rock solid for the Coyotes early in the season.
Well, they're going to have to play their type of style. They're going to have to disable the structure that Arizona plays with. We talk about it all the time. The Arizona is a tough place for the Preds to play in. They seem to have major letdowns out there. Honestly, in Gila River Arena, they're actually 11-11-0-4 Nashville in their history. So despite the fact they're .500 on the road, and usually you would take that, Arizona, obviously, throughout the years has not been a good team. So I think it actually adds a little bit to the frustration of Preds fans and the Nashville Predators themselves that they keep going to a team that they should be able to beat, and they go out of here maybe 50% of the time with points. So they're going to have to play their up-tempo style, get rid of the structure of Arizona plays with. And Darcy Kuemper, who's been up there in Minnesota backing up Devan Dubnyk, fantastic early start to the season. He's kind of a journeyman a little bit as far as goaltenders go, but he's getting his chance to play. They're going to ride the hot hand and put Kuemper in there tonight. Fully expect to see Rene in net again. I don't see Saros coming into play until the Preds get back home. Nashville play their up-tempo game, and they should be able to come out with a victory. Now, easier said than done. Arizona, we saw last season, I don't think they even had a 20-goal score the entire season. Watch for Arizona. As good as the Preds' power play has been, Arizona still has the dangerous weapons shorthanded. Keep an eye out for that. Preds can avoid that. They should be able to pull off a victory.
To break them out of their system, it's simple. Go in there and compete as hard as you can in the first 10 minutes of this game. Get yourself that first goal of the game, and that will start to make Arizona shift what it is going to do moving forward, because they are an offensively depressed team, and once they get behind, they have got to change what they do. So Mastrodamus, fantastic analysis right there. We'll be talking to you again. We'll be recapping this one soon. We're going to take Saturday morning off. Well, I'm taking a personal day. That's on the cap. Right there. I got some things I got to take care of. So I'm giving all the Renegades a puck Saturday morning off. So Mastrodamus, I look forward to your analysis on Twitter and your recap of this game at GreekGoalie35. And of course, I'll be talking to you next week. The Nashville Predators will have a home stand. They will have Florida, Anaheim, Minnesota here at Bridgestone Arena. So we'll be talking about it then. He is, of course, the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation. He is Mastrodamus, a man so far ahead in the future. He's told you everything that's going to happen tonight between the Nashville Predators and the Arizona Coyotes. Thank you so much, my friend.
Charlie, anytime. Have a good weekend.
Mastrodamus right there, bringing it strong. And coming up next, a return of the OG. Brandon Felder makes his first appearance of the season. A lot has changed since he last appeared on this radio show. Of course, he's been covering this Nashville Predators franchise on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio for many, many years. He is the original. He is Brandon Felder, and he's up next on Predneck Nation Radio. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonnier. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios on Nashville Sports Radio.
Whether you're a startup business or an established brand, Stripe Design and Print want to help you ensure you establish the best brand for your business. From new projects to updating existing files, Stripe Design and Print has the expertise to turn your project into a reality. With banners, apparel, business cards, and more, Stripe Design and Print has you covered. Log on for a free consultation at StripeDesignPrint.com. That's StripeDesignPrint.com. Redneck Nation Radio is on Nashville Sports Radio. Catch one of the longest running radio shows devoted to the Nashville Predators.
I'm Kyle Turris of Nashville Predators.
I'm Colton Sissons of the Nashville Predators.
Every game day morning at 5 with Crazy Charlie Saunier.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Nashville Sports Radio and Redneck Nation, a match made in hockey.
Kyle Turris of Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back in, Redneck Nation, here from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. Crazy Charlie's on here. Kyle Turris bringing us back from break. 6 games played on the season, 2 goals, 2 assists. It's good for 4 points, averaging just 12:30 in time on ice. Third line, fourth line, so far, he seems to have found his groove. And that is outstanding news for the Nashville Predators, who struggled to figure out exactly what to do with Kyle Turris. Here to talk to me about Kyle Turris and all things Nashville Predators hockey, returning to the show for the first time since last year's playoff run. He is, of course, the OG of hockey coverage when it comes to Nashville Sports Radio. You can find him on Twitter at Brandon_Felder. He's always up for the conversation and the interaction, and we're going to check in with him from time to time throughout the year, getting outside the bubble and getting the bigger perspective on a couple of concepts going on with the Nashville Predators. He is, of course, Brandon Felder. Welcome back, Brandon.
Thank you, Charlie. Happy to be back. Appreciate you giving me the time, and looking forward to talking about this early start to the season for the Preds.
Absolutely, and of course, since the last time we spoke, 2 big-time moves for this Nashville Predators franchise. It was the salary dump trade of P.K. Subban to the New Jersey Devils, which has completely changed the Nashville Predators defense corps for this season, but then it was the free agent signing of Matt Duchesne. Both of these moves, very telegraphed by the franchise. It was fairly obvious. We were even discussing both of those things before last season even ended as potential storylines on the horizon. So, Brandon, we go into the season with a high-priced free agent, Matt Duchesne, and so far, 2 goals, 7 assists in 6 games, 17:56 in time on ice, and the power play is looking a whole lot different than it did last year. Let's start right there. The big move of the offseason, Subban out, Duchesne in, early season success.
Yeah, it was a risky move. At the same time, you understood why David Poile did it. There was different mechanisms to get the salary cap that you needed to bring in Duchesne, but that was the one that Poile chose. And, you know, the biggest concern, I think, for everybody when you go into a move like that is, okay, will it pay off for you out of the gate? And so far, the returns are very good, you have to say. Matt Duchesne has made things very simple for the Nashville Predators in that it's added the depth that's needed. And Peter Laviolette can roll his lines. And if there's one thing that's working for the Preds right now, it's the offense. They are scoring goals. Multiple lines are scoring goals. You have a healthy competition between Johansson's line and Duchesne's line. And at the end of the day, you kind of see, okay, here's the reaction to the way that the playoffs went, the fact that this team could not score enough to get to that next level, and Poile went out and did exactly that. And, you know, it was one of those things that, hey, until it had happened, a lot of people were dubious about, has David Poile ever really gone out and gotten one of the biggest free agents that's out there? But he made the moves that was necessary in his mind to be able to do that. And so far the returns are good. The power play looks much better than it did last year. They're getting success from that, and they're scoring seemingly at will at times.
The power play so far on the season, 5 goals on 22 opportunities, 22.7%. And we're seeing a lot of world-class distribution with Duchesne and Johansson consistently setting guys up in the slot. Brandon, a new assistant coach brought in to change the structure, new player brought in to change the skill level, and a new strategy deployed in the 1-4. The power play, at least through the first part of the season, is looking a whole lot different and more impressive than it did at any point in time last year.
Absolutely. And part of the biggest strategy is just simply you got to shoot, and you got to shoot quickly. I love the fact that this team has playmakers who have now been given the freedom to pass it around quickly. It's no more just the umbrella and just firing from the points, which, you know, a few years ago made sense. But in the modern day, that's just not something that's done as much in the NHL. Teams have scared of that and know how to stop that too high of a consistent level. And so what we're seeing now is much quicker action, much more low-high action that you've seen across the league. I think it's one of those things that, you know, just like anything else, you know, every year we talk about, oh, teams are going to copycat whoever won the Stanley Cup and their systems. Well, same thing for power plays and penalty kills. You're always looking at what other teams are doing, and you can take things and borrow from it and technically steal some concepts and some ideas. And when you have high IQ players like the Predators have, this is exactly what we were talking about all year of, look, if you've got this amount of players that have this amount of talent, there should be some level of consistency. It doesn't have to be every night, but at least there should be some level of consistency and some high danger chances. And now we're finally seeing that. And yes, Duchesne is a big part of that. And some of his passes are just unreal passes. And his on-ice vision, to me, is even better than what originally was advertised or thought to be. So that's helped for sure. But at the end of the day, the reality is that these players are being put in a place to perform better, and the actual system that they're in is driven more towards their capabilities.
Brandon, last year we spent almost the entire season trying to figure out what was going on with Kyle Turris, what happened to his game, where his smile had gone off to. It was an off season of some success at the Worlds, gained some confidence, good workouts, came back to training camp, ready to go. And so far, third line, fourth line, it doesn't seem to matter where you put him. He's producing the best hockey he has since maybe the first 15 games that he was a Nashville Predator. 2 goals and 2 assists, 4 points. He's generating 11 shots on net so far, and he just looks like a completely different player through the first 6 games of this season.
He does. I think, you know, the reality is it's a combination of health. I think he's definitely got his full health. It's a combination of, you know, sometimes players go into an off season and they really put in the work, so to speak, and it pays dividends, and it builds within them a certain amount of confidence and a certain amount of ability that maybe they didn't have the prior year. That maybe they're just working on something new that, for a hockey player, when you've been so good your entire life, sometimes it just takes an improvement in one or two areas to realize, no, I still have room to grow, and I still have ways that I can improve who I am, and then have that confidence that this will make a difference for me out on the ice. Just having something different in your arsenal. And so for, I think, Kyle Turris at this point, you know, the reality is he's making the most of his minutes, and that's the big difference. Feels like last year the minutes that he got, you know, when things didn't go his way, his confidence level would go down, and then you'd see him shoot less, pass more, which is not always the best thing for him. I love the fact that they have still included him on the second power play. As we talked about when he was acquired for Nashville, he's a power play performer in his past, and so that was something that we've always said that it needs to happen for him, to have him out there, and that helps his confidence. And you've seen that, I think, throughout this season. And so, you know, monitoring it going forward, it's going to be really interesting to see how those minutes go. Does he move up? Or does Peter Laviolette have him in a role that maybe has simplified things for him, even though, you know, traditionally you don't expect players of his caliber and talent to be in that third/fourth-line role? If it's working and you're taking advantage of the other team and he doesn't mind it, then you've found a fit that works out for both parties, and you go from there. But if not, you know, I think he is a player that as soon as things happen, whether it's injuries or lines cool off, he's a player that right now definitely deserves a look in the top six if the role is correct.
Brandon, another player that was under the spotlight quite a bit and seemed like people were ready to give up on him during the offseason. On the defensive side of things, Ryan Ellis, and we know what type of player Ryan Ellis can be. I mean, his numbers down in juniors were absolutely historic. Since he's been in the NHL, he's represented himself very well. It was certainly a down year if you watched him game by game. The stats don't necessarily bear that out. But so far, the start of this season, he's got a goal and six assists. That is good for 7 points, 6 games played. His defenses look good, and so far it seems that his vision is back and his confidence is back, much like Kyle Turris, performing at a very high level as we expect for the first part of this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, look, a couple of players last year had down years at the defensive position. Not everybody can put up offensive numbers like Roman Josi from the blue line, and you had people down on Subban for his numbers, people down on Ellis for his numbers. And so one thing that people don't always remember is when you're coming back from an injury, it takes time to just fully trust your body again. And that's, you're never going to hear Ryan Ellis make that excuse. But I think that impacted him last season, of just being able to try and fully trust that his body was 100% ready to go. And look, reality is, you know, sometimes all it takes is just a little bit of a good start and you find your game again and you feel back to the groove that you've been in, and it carries on from there. And in other cases, it can be a slow start and it really hampers and struggles you throughout the year and you lose that confidence in what you're doing. And so much of professional sports and professional hockey in general is just the margins, the small margins, the little differences between, you know, being able to go out there on a night-in, night-out basis and be consistent, or being on the scratch list. It's very small margins. A lot of it has to do with consistency. But at the end of the day, if you're able to contribute on both ends of the ice like Ellis is currently, it makes such a world of difference for the way that your coaches see you, that your teammates trust you, and it helps your confidence going forward. And, you know, it sounds crazy that these players with just all this skill, it could be as simple as just little mental things that make them confident or not as to whether or not they're having years that we would consider normal for them or down years. But that is the reality. And it's a funny game, hockey. It's little things. It can be, you know, 1 inch to the left of the left post and the puck is going out versus 1 inch to the right and it's going in. And that make all the difference between a whole month for you as a player. So I love what I've seen from him so far. I hope he continues to keep it up, but I definitely think going into this season, you could see a difference in knowing that he is fully healthy and he's not really worried about the things that hampered him from a couple seasons ago.
He is the OG of hockey coverage here at Nashville Sports Radio, going all the way back to his column on hockeybuzz.com and his time on the air here at Nashville Sports Radio. I've been talking pucks with him for many, many years, and from time to time this season, we're going to check back in with Brandon Felder. I appreciate you so much for giving us the overview, the look from 30,000 feet, if you will, on what's been going on with the Nashville Predators. Sometimes we go day to day, we get stuck so far in the bubble, we forget to stop and look at the overall trends, and Brandon is going to do an outstanding job of helping us find those threads that we've been missing throughout the season. So Brandon, always appreciate getting an opportunity to talk to you. Thanks so much for jumping up with us here on Predneck Nation Radio, and of course, thanks for always representing the Renegades of Puck.
Hey, absolutely, Charlie. Happy to do it. It's been a good start to the year. The couple losses the Predators have are not really against what I would call quality opponents. So really looking forward to seeing what they can do tonight against Arizona. Some really good goaltending that they're going to be facing tonight more than likely. And so that's going to be very interesting because, as we all know, if you face some good Thursday night goaltending, sometimes that can really trip up a Nashville Predators team. So going to be interesting to see how they close out this road trip.
Appreciate you, Brandon. Have a great day.
All right. Enjoy it, Charlie.
Right there, Brandon Felder in the third period. Mastrodamus was in the second period. Me, I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier. This is Predneck Nation Radio. Each and every one of you Renegades of Puck, we sure do appreciate you tuning in. We appreciate WNSR Nashville Sports Radio. Management here has given us creative freedom, 100%, the opportunity to come on and do this show when we need to do this show. So the Predneck Takeovers will go on when they need to and for as long as they need to. Opportunities for live shows on game days at 5 a.m. because we choose to be on at 5 a.m. because you deserve more Predators coverage. You deserve to start your day with the best hockey coverage that exists on the planet, and that is right here on Predneck Nation Radio. And we thank Johnny Ballpark Franks and Jay Hinson as well for the encore presentation opportunities at 6 p.m.
p.m. The next couple of Thursdays, you will get to hear us in drive time in the morning and the afternoon. That's what I call support from your radio station here at Nashville Sports Radio. So thank Nashville Sports Radio. Reward Nashville Sports Radio. Give them the stick taps they deserve by downloading the WNSR app, by checking out WNSR.com, and also by checking out all of the fantastic programming that we have here on Nashville Sports Radio. On a daily basis, this lineup, pound for pound, I'll put them up against anybody. Me at 5, Bill King at 6 on college football, Greg Pogan, Big Joe. I also talk Preds hockey on that show from 9 to 11, so check that out if you're ever missing any of my analysis. We also have George Plaster in the afternoons, and Johnny Ballpark Franks closes out our stellar lineup each and every day. Appreciate each and every one of you, and remember, it is so easy to become a renegade of puck. All you have to do is have the fire in your belly, have that fury, have that passion, and never be afraid to have a hard opinion or to tell the truth when you believe in it. We accept each and every one of you. It don't matter how short or tall, it don't matter how big or small, it don't matter where you're originally from or what your favorite team was 25 years ago. Right now, it is the Nashville Predators' time, and it is time for the Renegades of Puck. Trench warfare at its finest. We will be here each and every game day live at 5 a.m. And, oh, by the way, that new merch, it's coming out. You may have seen a preview of the new Renegades of Puck t-shirt and logo that's going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks. Oh, and just one more nice little surprise. Renegades of Puck, we'll see you at the Cotton Bowl. The Renegades of Puck will march on the first day of 2020 to the Cotton Bowl. We will be in full representation at the Winter Classic as your Nashville Predators will take on the Dallas Stars. Texas will never be the same again. The Renegades of Puck, the invasion is on. Talk to each and every one of you soon. Crazy Charlie Sonia here. Remember, check us out at Predneck Nation. You can always like us on Facebook. You can check out this show in an on-demand way through SoundCloud and iTunes. We're always here for you, Renegades of Puck. Love each and every one of you. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.